Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got Q104. Good morning. It's Bill and Alyssa. Yesterday, I was telling you about how I'm missing a headlight.
Oh, yeah. Did you get that fixed yesterday?
Well, I hear that's illegal to miss a head. Like, you can't drive around without headlights.
Oh, well, I thought you could have just one of them.
For how long?
I'm not sure, but I see enough cars that I go, padiddle, that it must not be that big of a problem.
I've been pulled over before for a broken tail light, not for a headlight, but for a tail light. So I was thinking that I should get this headlight replaced as soon as possible.
Well, of course.
So I did that yesterday, and maybe that would be easy for a competent person. That's just not me.
Are you okay? I was going to say that's not you, but thank you for clarifying.
I've never replaced a headlight before, but I wanted to do it yesterday. So I went to the auto parts place and I walked in to the store. And some guy helped me like right away. Like, can I help you? Can I help you find something? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I need a low beam headlight for a 2019 Ford Escape. And he's like, all right, looked it up on his little computer, went down the aisle, came back with a bulb, and I paid for that. And as we're checking out, I'm like, okay, is he going to ask? Can I install it for you? Is he going to say it? Can I put this in for you? Is he going to do it? And he didn't do it, and I did not ask him.
No, Bill!
There's something inside of me that won't let me do it. I don't know if it's something wrong with me.
Are you just self-conscious about asking?
I don't know if it's a male genetics type thing, but I am unable physically to ask another man for help.
What?
Especially when it comes to cars, auto parts.
But you're not a car guy.
I'm not a car
guy. It's okay to ask for help.
But he doesn't know that. So I take the bulb and I go home and I'm in my driveway and I'm watching YouTube and I think I got this figured out. And I'm underneath my hood and I'm trying to plug in the light bulb and it doesn't fit.
No! So he doesn't even know what he's doing. He gave you the wrong bulb.
Gave me the wrong bulb.
Ugh.
So I drive back to the store. I get the right bulb myself. I Googled it.
Now look who knows more.
I get the right bulb. I go exchange it. I go home. And I successfully changed my own headlight.
Would you look at that? Wow. Impressive.
51 years old, and I learned how to do something new.
Never too old.
Never too old.
To keep learning new things.
I'm a big boy now.
Look at you go.
You've got the Q Morning Show. Thank you for being here this morning. Taylor Swift is on Q104. Benson Boone, you're on Q104. We heard from Taylor Swift a few minutes ago as well. Taylor Swift is going to court.
Oh, for what?
Did you see this? She wants to try to combat the rise of the AI deepfakes that are going around.
Yeah, I did see this yesterday. She's trying to trademark her voice in certain ways. Is that correct?
Yes. Two specific phrases. Hey, it's Taylor. And hey, it's Taylor Swift. So she has submitted documents to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And yeah, she's, I guess the reason why, she's worried about these AI deepfakes.
Yeah.
And so if the deepfakes use those, If this is successful, if she is able to successfully copyright those phrases. And it's the thing is that trying to trademark a sound is an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe ideas and inventions and things like that. But it's just saying, hey, it's Taylor, to try to trademark that.
See, usually I would think that that's like over the top and doing too much. But with how good AI has gotten and how easily it's able to trick people, I mean, I've seen some really good deepfakes. I'm interested to see how this goes. I feel like it could probably like set the standard for what artists are allowed to trademark or not.
I only know of one other actor or celebrity who's tried to trademark a sound, and that is Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, did he do? All right. Yeah. All right.
Back in January, he filed paperwork to try to copyright that.
This January?
This past January.
Wow, it took him long enough.
We'll see if that is successful as well. All right, good vibes on the way this morning. 216-474-0104. Share your good vibe coming up. Jill is listening to us in Broadview Heights. Jill, good morning.
Good morning.
We hear you have a good vibe to share.
Yeah, my sister actually recently just had a baby, and it's going to be my first time seeing her this week. And since the weather is getting so nice, we're going to be able to go out and go to the pool. And I'm just so excited to see my little niece.
Ah, is this your first time being an aunt, a little auntie?
Yes.
I want to make sure that I heard you correctly. Your sister just had a baby, and you're going to take the baby to the pool?
Well, recently, meaning a couple months ago.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be like our first girl's day out.
All right. So it's okay now to take the baby to the pool.
Completely safe.
Yeah. We're just going to throw her in the deep end.
It'll probably be fine.
We're going to let the baby figure it out.
She's a very smart cookie.
When I first had my kids, you know, we wanted to put them in swimming lessons.
Uh-huh.
Like as soon as possible. I did not realize that you could do that as a baby. You can teach.
Yeah.
So we were taking Will and Drew. We both took them to, it was so much fun.
Like
to
the
do
baby
it.
And me swim classes?
Yeah. Being a first time parent, it was frightening to take your baby into the pool.
Oh my God, I imagine.
And I'm just holding on to Will like for dear life. You know, but the babies actually have a lot of fun in the pool.
Really?
So, yeah.
Huh.
And then they're both excellent swimmers. Will and Drew are both. And I think it's because we started them out when they were babies.
Hey, start them young.
Well, that's awesome, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that good vibe. And have fun with your family this week.
Thanks.
Choosing Texas, Ella Langley, the Q Morning Show. It's Q104. So this is something that is being proposed right now in downtown Cleveland. I want to preface it by saying this is a proposal. This is not something that's definitely going to happen.
Just an idea.
But the leaders, Cleveland City Council, this was a proposal from Mayor Bibb's office to create another DORA downtown.
Now explain to me what a DORA is again.
DORA is a designated outdoor refreshment area.
That's so right.
There's only one in downtown Cleveland, and that is East 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So you can walk outside with an alcoholic beverage on East 4th.
So where would this new area be that they're proposing it?
Playhouse Square.
Oh, coming to our neck of the woods over here.
So, yeah, that's where we work. We're in the Halley Building, which is really kind of on the edge of Playhouse Square, I would say, right? Where does Playhouse Square begin and end?
Ah, that's a great question. I honestly would say that it begins kind of like at Huron.
Yeah, I think
Road.
So. I think you're right.
It begins right there.
I mean, there's a sign. It says Playhouse Square.
I mean, when we park in our parking garage for work here, the first thing I see outside is the big lit up sign that says Playhouse Square.
I am by no means against this idea. I'm totally fine with it if it happens, if it goes through.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought, though, when I read about it, I was like, do we really need that?
Yeah, I guess my question is, like, how many bars and restaurants would be part of that area?
And if the bars and restaurants are going to benefit from it, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I have come down to Playhouse Square many times, and I've never felt the need to get a drink and then walk outside.
I haven't really felt that either. There's a couple of really good spots around us right here. Like, there's a really good taco place downstairs that I love. But I don't know of enough to be able to consider it like a walkable drinking area.
Yeah, you're talking about 1942 Tacos and Tequila.
Yeah, those are some of the best tacos I've found so far coming back to Cleveland.
And the article that I'm reading, they're mentioned in this article that they're all for it. I'm just saying, when I go to Tacos and Tequila, I go there to eat and drink. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to take my drink? That's what I'm not getting. Like, maybe if you're having dinner and then you want to walk with your drink to the theater.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to sit outside for a while.
Hmm.
The other thing that concerns me is because you got to have the plastic cups.
Oh, yeah.
You got to make sure people are throwing those cups away.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. If I recall, though, they have like a little patio outside, at least at 1942, that people can like drink on and have their dinners on. At least I think they can. But maybe.
Right. But that's on the premises of
right,
the restaurant.
That's
so it.
On their property.
Yeah. This is going off property.
Okay. Hmm. I mean, I'd be all about, I mean, I'm all about it if it helps businesses, but I'd be more for it if we had like more restaurants and bars and stuff in this little area.
Yeah. Again, just a proposal. It's not definitely happening, but it may happen. A second Dora in downtown Cleveland.
We'll keep you posted if it does.
All right. Whitney is going to join us.
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
Whitney has something to say. She has something to reveal, and then she's going to ask the question, am I a bleephole? We can't believe what she's going to say. That's coming up. The Q Morning.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. It's Q104, the Q Morning Show. Am I the bleephole? Apparently, Whitney in North Ridgeville thinks there's a potential that she could be a bleephole, but why? Let's find out. Whitney, good morning.
Good morning.
Who thinks you're a bleephole?
Okay, so no one yet, but if my mom or sister ever found out what I did, I don't know.
Ooh, what you did. So you've already done it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay, so my grandma passed away recently, and, you know, we've all been going through the grieving process.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
It's been rough. My grandma and I were, she, like, basically raised my siblings and me, you know? So when she passed, there was this one thing of hers that I wanted to keep. It's a clatter ring that she wore everywhere. I've just loved it since I was a kid. I used to try it on when I was little, and my grandma would always laugh and say, one day this will be yours. More than once over the years, right?
Okay.
So apparently my sister decided that she also wanted the ring. So after my grandma passed, we started going back and forth about who should get it. And I tried to tell her that grandma told me multiple times she wanted me to have it. But my sister basically accused me of making it up. So
did your grandma leave a will at all?
Yeah, but there's nothing about the ring in there.
Okay.
So, like, long story short, it turned into this whole thing. Our mom ended up getting involved, and she essentially put her foot down and said, if you two are going to act like this over a piece of jewelry, then nobody gets it. And my mom decided that my grandma would be buried with the ring. Final decision, end of discussion.
Okay.
So, after the showing, I went up to the casket alone for a minute, and grandma was wearing her ring, so I just... Oh, God. Sounds so bad. I just slipped the ring off grandma's hand and put it in my purse.
You did what?
Well,
really?
From grandma? Grandma's laying in the casket?
Wait, everybody stop. Everybody hold on. We need to hear the rest of this.
Whitney.
Am I the bleephole? Whitney took a ring off of her grandmother's body in the casket?
Oh my God.
We'll hear the rest of the story next, the Q Morning Show. It's Q104. Am I the bleephole? We're talking to Whitney.
And I'm trying so hard not to jump to conclusions.
So let's see if I was following along correctly. And sorry again, Whitney. Whitney's grandmother passed away recently. And there was a ring that Whitney's grandmother had that Whitney coveted. And had a discussion with her grandma many times that one day you'll have this ring.
But there was nothing in her grandmother's will about this ring. And
no,
turns
and
out
that's not unusual, right? I mean, nobody puts like every piece of jewelry.
No, you can't list everything. But Whitney's sister also wanted this ring and it was becoming a problem. Her mom stepped in and was like, nope, it's going in the ground with grandma.
Yeah, stop fighting about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting the ring in the ground.
End of story.
And then Whitney just admitted to, was this like during like calling hours or something? Like, I guess that you were alone with your grandmother and you just took the ring off of her finger.
Yeah, it was a showing. We all went up and like took our moment and, you know, people weren't directly watching because that's not what you do, right? You just take your moment. Mm-hmm. You have your peace. And I saw the ring on her finger and I just, how many times she told me I could have it. I just took it. And so they buried her without it. My mom and sister still think the ring is in the ground, but it's not. It's just in the jewelry box on my nightstand. So
okay.
I don't know, you guys. Like, part of me feels like my grandma wanted me to have it anyway, but part of me knows that if my family finds out, they're going to lose their minds.
Yeah, they might. Very possible.
So I guess the question that we ask every single week, is Whitney the bleep hole for taking matters into her own hands and taking the ring back against her mother's wishes? And her sister wanted it too, so now she has the ring. Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to feel.
I can't. I don't.
I mean, part of me is glad, Whitney, that you have this ring that was so important to you, but the means by which you obtained it.
So bizarre. Like, I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to imagine myself looking into the casket and be like, oh, look at dad's watch. You know, I should have that.
I'm just gonna
take my dad's watch off his wrist.
Oh,
it's weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be why this is Am I the Bleephole?
All right. Let's discuss 216-474-0104. Is Whitney the Bleephole? Does she need to fess up with her mom and her sister? Your call's coming up. It's Q104, 7:30 banger this morning. Jagged Edge, Nelly, Where the Party At, the Q Morning Show.
I am still just gobsmacked over this one. Oh my gosh, Whitney.
That takes some courage.
It really does. Like, we're talking about, am I the bleephole? But really, it's there's so many moral and ethical issues here. Whitney slipped her grandmother's ring off of her finger in the casket.
She really wanted the ring. Whitney says that her grandmother promised her the ring. She and her sister were fighting about who was going to get the ring. Whitney's mom,
she stepped in and just put her foot down and she was like, nobody's getting the ring. Actually, grandma is taking the ring. We're going to bury her with it.
Let's start with Morgan and Kent. Morgan, good morning. So is Whitney the bleephole here?
No, I don't think so at all.
You don't think so? Okay. Explain to me your reasoning.
So she may have gone about it in a weird way. I will give you that. However, coming from someone who has also lost a grandmother, and I was promised some special items of hers that were not in any kind of will, mm-hmm. That I knew my uncle would fight me over. So my dad just kind of took the items from her house after she had passed. So I'm with Whitney on it. Her grandmother promised it to her. She felt like it belonged to her. And I agree. She deserves the ring.
Oh my gosh. So it's like a free-for-all after someone passes away?
I understand that aspect of it, of like, you want something, you don't want it to be an argument, you take it, but this just feels so wrong considering she slipped it off of grandma's finger literally like at calling hours.
This is Jen, where are you?
Norton.
Hi, Jen. Is Whitney the bleephole for taking the ring?
Absolutely the bleephole. First of all, it's a religious or act of passage. Cladic rings are passed down when a child. I'm passionate. I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
They pass that. I'm fine. They pass that ring down when a girl becomes of age, usually 13 to 16. She stole that off of her grandmother's finger. You can buy them anywhere and have your own experience with your cladic rings. Now that she did that, the only thing she can do is buy one and give it to her sister, make up some story that she's doing it in her grandparents' or her grandmother's memory or something like that. But she is absolutely the bleep hole for this one.
Oh, Jen, I feel, has this upset you this morning?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's very passionate to me because my grandmother gave me mine when I turned 15, and I did not know, like, the heritage behind that when I gave it to somebody else. That is a heritage passed down. That is not something you just steal from somebody, especially your dead grandmother. That is disrespectful on all kinds of levels.
Jen, thank you for listening to us and for contributing your opinion this morning.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that it's like, it's so, that's why I said it's like morally and ethically, I think I'm having an issue with it. It's hard to see something go away forever that was so special to you, like a ring, but, oh, like going about it in that way, that's what I'm struggling with it.
It makes me want to update my will, but at the same time, I don't think my kids want anything that I own. There's like nothing that I own that I think that they would want.
Yeah, I've thought about this. Like,
if
something were to happen to me, like, do I have anything that people would actually even want at all? Because I don't really think I do.
The thing that Paula has that is most precious to her is her grandmother's china, and nobody wants her grandmother's china. Like, the kids are like, they're like, no. She has no idea what she's going to do with it because the boys are like...
Well, yeah. Where are you supposed to store that?
They're not interested at all.
Why it always ends up at thrift stores.
Q104. It's Q104. All right. So we don't usually do this because we're up against the clock here. But I wanted to bring in Lydia and Avon Lake. Am I the bleep hole? Lydia, I'm going to let you have the final word. I only have like 30 seconds here, so... you're saying that Whitney is not the bleep hole for taking the ring that she wanted from her grandmother who was about to go into the ground, she was in her casket. You're saying that she is not the bleep hole for this?
Absolutely not. No way. She did not take the ring from her grandmother. Her grandmother wanted her to have it. She told her many, many times. It was a connection between her and grandma. Somebody said, oh, she can go buy a new one. You can't go buy a new one.
Yeah.
It's not her grandmother's ring. Her grandmother wanted her to have it. There's no way she could get it later on. And something similar happened in my family, and they were the bleep holes for doing what they did. I'm not going into it. But there is no way she can get that ring back. Buying a new one is not going to make it. I don't care if you're supposed to get it at 13 years. How is she supposed to give it to her granddaughter and pass it down if she didn't even have it?
All right, Lydia.
She is not the bleep hole at all. Her grandmother wanted her to have it, and it's going to help her get through things. And I'm sorry that her sister was being that way. But she is not the bleep hole in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you, Lydia.
She didn't take it. She took it.
All right. Some passionate calls this morning during Am I the Bleep Hole?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, this is probably the most passionate Am I the Bleep Hole we've ever done.
I'm a little sweaty.
You want to ask some trivia questions?
I would love to do some trivia.
Lighten the mood a little bit around here?
I think we could use that for sure.
All right. 216-474-0104. Alyssa's College of Knowledge. If you want to take on Alyssa this morning, 5-question general knowledge trivia challenge. Be caller 14 right now. 216-474-0104. We have tickets to see Hardy next month at Blossom. We'll play the game in 10 minutes. In the hot seat this time around, it's Patrick in Lakewood. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Alyssa's College of Knowledge, 5 trivia questions. Whoever answers the most correct will win the game. Patrick, let's go. Question number one. If you knock down all the pins in bowling, that's called a what?
Strike.
Question two. How many carats are in pure gold?
24.
Question three. In the movie Monsters, Inc., who is Mike Wazowski's supervisor on Scare Floor F?
Sully.
Question four. Name the artist who had a hit song called Paper Planes back in 2007.
MIA.
Final question. True or false? Skateboarding is an Olympic sport.
True.
Patrick, excellent job. A very efficient 4 out of 5 today.
Okay.
Alyssa's got to be on her game just to tie Patrick. Alyssa's College of Knowledge. It continues next. The Q Morning Show. It's Q104. Alyssa has returned to the studio. Alyssa, meet Patrick in Lakewood.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Alyssa.
Now, Patrick, if memory serves, you are a college counselor. Is that right?
I am, yes.
So the school year is wrapping up, and you are sending various students all across the country to various colleges. Is that right?
That is correct. They have to decide by May 1st.
Oh, my gosh. So this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Friday's the big day.
All right. So Patrick went 4 for 5, Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
So if you've been coasting the past few weeks.
I have been.
You should stop doing that right now because your win streak is in jeopardy. You need 4 to tie Patrick. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number 1. If you knock down all the pins in bowling, that's called a what?
A strike.
How many carats are in pure gold?
24.
In the movie Monsters, Inc., who is Mike Wazowski's supervisor on Scare Floor F?
Oh, what's her name? I don't know. I got nothing.
I'm always watching you, Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski.
That's Roz.
Ah, good old Roz.
Oh, yeah, Roz.
That's the one that Patrick missed.
Understandable.
So 2 questions left, and you need them both as well. Name the artist who had a hit song called Paper Planes back in 2007.
M.I.A.
Final question that will decide the game. True or false? Skateboarding is an Olympic sport.
True. Yes!
And the streak, and the streak continues.
Oh, good game. Good game. Nice try.
Yeah, that was close.
We've had so many people come so close the past few days, but no one's been able to beat her yet. Patrick, thank you so much. And if we don't talk to you, enjoy your summer, okay?
Thanks so much. My name is Patrick, and I just flunked out of Alyssa's College of Knowledge on Q104.
The Q Morning Show, Bill and Alyssa, Q104. I had to fill up my tank yesterday.
Woof.
I went to the Costco in Avon, where I always go.
Okay.
And it was slammed last night.
Well, yeah, everybody's trying to use their perks.
What perks?
Doesn't Costco have a fuel perks program?
No, we have cheaper gas.
Oh.
Because we're Costco members, but it's not like there's perks. I've never seen Avon that slammed. Strongsville is slammed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, all right, what's going on? Like, is there something in the news? Like, is there supposed to be like some kind of surge this week? And sure enough, I'm reading the news this morning. And I wonder if all these people follow Gas Buddy, because Gas Buddy tweeted out yesterday, alert, Great Lakes states, including Ohio, these states could see a double spike week as continued refinery challenges in the region have caused a large surge in wholesale gas prices.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but I think people saw that yesterday and they're like, double spike week? Oh my, I better get gas today.
Yeah, the prices are going up like crazy. I'm really paying attention now because, what was that, like 2 days ago, I saw it over $4 at one station. And then today on my drive-in, I saw over $4 at like 4 or 5 different stations. My husband Bryce and I, we were taking bets the other night just between ourselves, not using like Polymarket or anything. But taking bets with each other of like, how high do you think it's going to get? And
that's not a fun game.
It's not. But on Sunday, I said that I thought we would max out at 425. I'm wrong already. Bryce was like, you think it's only going to be 425? We're already almost at $4. I was like, yeah, but like, it's not going to go that crazy. I'm eating my words.
Why? Where did you see it?
425?
Please don't say that you've seen. You're not talking about the BP on East 9th Street.
No. That one's at $4.89 now.
Yeah, they're an outlier. They're expensive no matter what the gas prices are.
Bill, I'm talking like 3 stations that I saw in Parma, like on Pearl Road at $3.25. Or not $3.25, $4.25 this morning.
Well, maybe that's because of the double spike week.
Yeah, I mean, I saw 425, 425, 419, 399. The lowest I saw was 399.
I don't even know what it means. Double spike week.
Yeah, can somebody please explain that?
In volleyball, if you have a double spike, it's illegal. That's the only thing that I know about a double spike.
Yeah, is there any correlation there?
I really do not enjoy talking about gas prices because it just feels like we're just grumbling.
It does feel like we're grumbling, but at least we're grumbling together, you know?
Well, I'd like to do something about it. Like earlier this week, we gave away a $500 gas card to Kylie. It was a good vibe moment, which reminds me, tomorrow at 7 Brew Drive-Thru Coffee, two specific locations. If you drive through these locations in Parma Heights, the one on Pearl Road, and in Parma, the Pleasant Valley Road location, whatever you order at 7 Brew Drive-Thru Coffee, 7% of their sales at 7 Brew Drive-Thru Coffee tomorrow will go towards good vibes. So that means we can do more things like give away gas cards and just come to the assistance of people who need some help right around this time.
Yeah, just take some burden off of people's shoulders.
Absolutely. I want to talk about what happened at the Guardians game the other day. By now, you probably have seen the video of the guy. He was trying to catch the home run ball, and the ball got loose, and he's being accused of stealing a home run ball from a little girl.
If you haven't seen that video, it's up on our Instagram story at the Q Morning Show. We have some thoughts.
Go there. We'll talk about it. Come on.
On Aspire with Emma Grade, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast available now.
Up. The Q Morning Show. Bill and Alyssa on Q104. I am learning so much about what happened at Progressive Field on Monday night. Just from reading about this, I learned like two or three new things just in the past few minutes about what happened. So Monday night at the Guardians game. And if you haven't seen the video, it is up on our Instagram at the Q Morning Show. There's a home run. I believe the Guardians hit the home run. I think it was Daniel Schneeman that hit it. And it goes directly at this guy and hits him right in the chest. He doesn't catch it. The ball drops into the seats and rolls a little bit and lands right in front of a little girl who's there wearing her Indians gear, and she's with her mom. And it looks like the girl is trying to reach down to get the ball, but the guy runs over and grabs the ball, and he goes back to his seat, and he's excited because he has a home run ball.
In all fairness, for the guy that got that caught the ball or it hit him in the chest and he picked it up, to be fair, it did not look like he even realized that there was like a little girl that he snatched it from. It did not look like he was doing it maliciously, but it certainly did happen. There's video evidence.
Yeah, let me say this first, because we've had this discussion on the show before, and I will say a blanket statement. Whenever you catch a foul ball or a home run ball, and a home run ball is different than a foul ball, I think, in certain circumstances, you should always, always give the ball to a kid.
If it's a foul ball.
Either your kid or another kid sitting in the area.
If it's a foul ball, right?
Or a home run ball.
Or a home run. Okay. Any ball that lands in the stands, if there is a child around you, it should be going to that kid. I think that that's a valid statement to make.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
If I was there with my son, I would give it to my son. If I, and I've done this before. In fact, I have video of this. I should repost this on our Instagram. A few years ago, I was watching the Guardians in Oakland. And I caught a foul ball. Now, what I do is when I sit down in my seat, I look around. I'm like, all right, if I catch a foul ball tonight, the ball's going to that kid. And that's what happened. And some friends of mine got it on video. So I'll repost that in a second. But back to the issue at hand here. I watched the video of this guy at Progressive Field. And I don't think he did anything egregious. Like, I saw the headlines were, man wrestles ball away from girl. And I'm like, what?
Man,
like,
steals ball from child. And I was like, whoa.
Man punches little girl in the face.
Like, a little bit of a misleading headline.
I don't think that's what happened. I don't even, I mean, from the video that I saw, it doesn't even look like the guy touched her.
No, that's why I was saying I don't really think that he even was like putting together the pieces that there was a child standing there who probably wanted that ball. I think he was just so excited that a ball just hit him in the chest and he was like, oh, where'd it go? Like, just pick it up. Maybe, again, speculation. You can watch the video for yourself at the Q Morning Show on Instagram. But I'm not sure what I would do if I was this guy. Like, if I was in that moment, obviously, like, hindsight, I would want to give it to a child. But I also would just be like, oh, my God, what's going on? What do I do? Just pick it up. Like,
yeah, 216-474-0104. What would you have done if you were this guy? Because I think I've learned in the last few minutes, I believe he has succumbed to the public pressure. And he did give the ball to the girl at some point.
It looks like the Guardians are going to try to, like, make right too and do something for this little girl as well, which is nice.
216-474-0104. Did the guy do anything wrong by keeping the home run ball?
At first.
What's that?
At first. Because he's given it over now to the little girl.
Right.
But at first, he kept that ball for himself.
Did he have any obligation? Could he have just kept it for himself and be okay with it?
That's a good question.
216-474-0104. The Q Morning Show.
We're going to bring you in on air.
You've got Q104, the Q Morning Show. Alyssa is still talking to listeners on the phone. That's okay.
Okay, I'm done.
No, that's all right. We want to talk to them on the air next.
Yeah, we have a lot of opinions on this. I knew that we would.
Yeah, Monday night at Progressive Field, home run ball, some guy in the outfield or in the
stands.
Yeah, in the stands. He tries to catch it. It hits him square in the chest. So he doesn't do a great job of trying to catch that home run ball. It just kind of just bounced off his chest.
Long story short, it bounces, and little girl next to him in the stand sees it and goes to reach for it, and the guy also goes to reach for it. Doesn't look like there's any sort of contact there, but the guy gets it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he wrestled it away from the girl.
He didn't snatch it.
It doesn't look like he said something like, "Oh, not fast enough." Or
that's mine.
He wasn't taunting her or anything like that. So he can't. Now, he eventually did give the ball over. But I'm just wondering, did he really need to?
Yeah.
What are the rules here? I always say give the ball to a kid. But Tanner and Sandusky, what do you say?
I mean, the kid honestly probably has numerous chances to go and see a baseball game and to catch another ball. But
who, the kid?
If it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, oh, I'm keeping that ball.
If it's a home run?
Yeah, because I'll probably never go again.
Because a foul ball is different than a home run ball. But
Definitely. You want to keep that and put it in a trophy case.
The thing is, though, it's not really, I mean, it's just a regular home run. Like, if it's a home run that's going to break the home run record, then, yeah, you keep that ball because it would be financially irresponsible of you to give that away.
That ball could send your kids to college.
I get that. Who is on line two?
We got Amber in Streetsboro.
Amber, good morning.
Good morning. So my dad started taking me to baseball games when I was 3 years old, and I went 38 consecutive seasons without ever having a foul ball, a home run ball, anything before I finally got mine. And there's no way I would have given it up to even the cutest kid in the world. Mm. I would have maybe bought him some ice cream, but that ball would have been mine.
Okay, wait. So in those 38 seasons that you've been going to Guards games, I assume on and off. Now, did anybody around you ever catch a ball and gift it to you as a child?
So, no. I've never been given a ball. My dad started taking me in September of 84, and I've been to at least one game every season since.
Okay. And that opportunity never arose.
No. The one time that there was an opportunity for me to get one, I do have to say I did give in because it was my little sister. but it was just like, it was a ball from the bat boy. It wasn't like a home run ball or anything. But no, if I caught that thing or if I got it fair and square, that sucker's mine.
All right. Thank you, Don. One more here. Who's this on line three?
Melissa in Painesville.
Melissa, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What are your thoughts here on what happened at Progressive Field with the home run ball on Monday?
So no, I definitely think he should have kept the ball, and I'm tired of people being shamed for this. Tickets are expensive to games. These things aren't like, you know, cheap to attend anymore. And, you know, if he caught that ball, you know, I mean, he got hit in the chest, you know, with it, but he bought that ticket. He has the right to keep that ball that he pretty much caught. I mean, just because you're a little kid doesn't give you the right to have that. Now, you know, if I caught a ball, of course I'm going to give it to my kids. You know, right. They're there mm-hmm. with me. But chances are that kid's going to take one look at it, put it in their toy bin, and not care later on. You know, for me, if I'm paying for, unless I have the extra spending money, going to a game, this is a treat or a privilege for me. So, yeah. You know, if I catch this ball on top of that, this is awesome. You know, now I only have a bruise on my chest to show for it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, a media thing that says I'm a monster.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awful, I think. It's kind of like that whole giving up your seat on a plane, you know, because somebody didn't make a plan. You know, that's up to her parents to catch that ball.
Yeah. Like we said, the guys succumbed to the pressure.
Yeah, that's kind of why I feel bad. I really feel bad for the headline saying, like, you know, he stole the ball, took the ball, because he genuinely looked really excited to get that ball.
Yeah.
And you can feel joy and excitement no matter how old you are over getting that ball. It just so happens that there was children around him.
All right. Anything further? 216-474-0104. All right. So here's who's going to play Alyssa's College of Knowledge today. It's Talmadge in Canton. I did not screw that up at all. Your first name is Talmadge.
Yes, sir. Old family name.
Awesome. Okay. And you're aware that there's a city in Summit County
I'm quite honored that they would name it after me.
All right, Talmadge. Good to have you. I've got five trivia questions for you here.
All right, let's play.
Whoever answers the most correct between you and Alyssa will win this game. Question number one. The Pentagon in Washington, D.C. has how many sides?
Five.
Question two. It's a type of sparkling wine from Italy.
It's the stuff they give out every year for New Year's. Sparkling wine. Nope, got me.
Question three. Name the character who goes on an adventure with a giant peach.
Nope, got it. I can think of the movie, but I can't think of the name.
Question four. On their menu, you'll find a cactus blossom and rattlesnake bites.
On their menu, you'll find a cactus blossom and rattlesnake bites? Would that be Texas Roadhouse?
Final question, true or false? Thomas Edison invented air conditioning.
False.
All right, let me count you up here. Talmadge, you have one. Three correct out of five.
The two that I couldn't answer, the peach one got me. I'm like, still, I can think of the character. I can see him in my mind, but I can't think of the name.
Don't kick yourself over it. Alyssa is back next to face off against Talmadge, the Q Morning Show. Alyssa's College of Knowledge, it's Q104. Alyssa is back in the studio. Alyssa, you're going to play against Talmadge.
Talmadge?
The entire city of Talmadge.
The whole city of Talmadge?
The whole city.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's his first name, Talmadge.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning.
He's from Canton.
Good morning, Alyssa.
Oh, wow. I would have assumed you were from... Okay, never mind. I won't do it.
Oh, no, please do. I get the puns all the time.
Would have assumed you were from Talmadge.
Yeah, this is my friend Dallas. He's from Cleveland.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
All right.
That's a good one.
So Talmadge did very well. 3 out of 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Alyssa needs 3 just to tie Talmadge any more than that. She's going to win the game. Question number one. The Pentagon in Washington, D.C. has how many sides?
5.
It's a type of sparkling wine from Italy.
Champagne.
Can't accept it. Prosecco.
Oh.
Didn't know that one.
Question number three. Name the character who goes on an adventure with a giant peach.
Jack.
So close. It's James. James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, you know, I've never seen that movie.
It's cute.
It's also a book.
Yep.
Isn't it something about the animation style really creeped me out? Is it claymation? It is claymation.
It is.
That was a hard no for me.
All right. So question two and three were also the questions that Talmadge missed.
Okay.
So just to tie him, Alyssa, you need these next two questions.
Oh, boy.
On their menu, you'll find a cactus blossom and rattlesnake bites.
I want to say Outback.
Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, dang.
Yay.
Final question. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Oh, my God.
True or false? Thomas Edison invented air conditioning. You say what, Alyssa?
False.
You got that one right.
All right.
But not enough to beat Talmadge today.
There goes my streak.
Goes your town.
Good game, Talmadge. Good game.
You as well, Alyssa.
Talmadge, we're going to send you the official Bill and Alyssa pennant and the diploma, and you have Hardy tickets as well.
Oh, yay. That's awesome. You know, what's more impressive is my six-year-old daughter sitting here watching me play. We were so excited.
Oh yeah.
She's got to be proud of dad.
Yeah, nothing beats that.
My name is Talmadge, and I just graduated from Alyssa's College of Knowledge on Q104.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.